Good evening, this is Rabbi Mayevsky. I entitled tonight's shiur, Priorities and Goals. And we see as the B'nai Yisrael are within a couple of months, if even that much, before they're entering into the land of Israel. And as Moshe Rabbeinu, he has priorities and he has goals too. The no Slavkod, they have priorities and they have goals. Pinchas, another one with priorities and goals. B'nai God and B'nai Ruvain, they have priorities and goals. But are all these priorities set up in the way the order should be? Moshe Rabbeinu has been told that he will not accompany the B'nai Yisrael into the land of Eretz Yisrael. His goal was to keep them in survival mode for the last 40 years and try to get them into Eretz Yisrael. He set his priorities towards that, and he accomplished that. But his goal of entering the land was not met, but only because his priority was to keep them alive. And when he said Mecheni No, he could have been the one to go into the land, but his priorities were to survival mode of Klal Yisrael. The No Slavkot had their priorities living in the land of Israel, but they understood the goals of Klal Yisrael was to have the land divided up equally, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was concerned that they would take Halosi So Nachlo, that the Nachlo would move in Shevet, make it inequitable. But B'nai Slavkod, their priorities and their goals matched all into one, because while they kept their Nachla, they understood on their own not to marry outside the Shevet. And their goal was set up properly. They would live in Eretz Yisrael at all costs. Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe had the goal initially to go into the land of Israel the whole time they were in the Midbar, but things did not work out. Things changed. And what changed their priorities are, they set up their priorities were financial. The priorities were for money. God gave them the ability when they went to war to wipe out Midian and their 1,000 people that they sent for each Shevet. They collected all of these spoils of war, and they amassed a great number of livestock. And because they chose to stay over for financial reasons, and you see when financial reasons, financial priorities take a hold of you, you say things that are totally inequitable. And we see that when they ask Moshe Rabbeinu, when they inform Moshe Rabbeinu that they do not want to go into the land of Eretz Yisrael. They would rather stay Avrei Yarden when the land is plentiful. It's almost impossible to believe that after 40 years of trying so hard to get into the land and not even to cross into the land of Israel with their tribes, and they tell Moshe, don't worry, we will fight you, we will build places for our animals, and we will build homes for our children and wives. And Moshe Rabbeinu corrects them and he says, I understand what you're saying, but don't you think your priorities are out of order over here? Don't you think that the first thing you should do is build homes for your families and then for your animals? Where are your priorities? Priorities should certainly be family over livestock, and their priority of money for the Shvatim even clouded their judgment into saying, not putting their families first. And that being what they told Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu realized, because there were those that would ask how come he didn't have greater influence over them, or to tell them that this will not fly, that he goes to God to ask, but he doesn't chide B'nai God and B'nai Reuven to say, go into the land and tell them outright that they're going to have to go into the land, because he sees that ship has sailed. That ship has sailed because their priorities were financial only. To go into the land of Eretz Yisrael, we make all of these decisions not to do certain things over finances rather than family, and that never works out in the end. And there we have a major problem with them. And not only that, but Reuven, on the other hand, his priority was, he was still seething over the fact the tribe of Reuven was still hurt over the fact that they lost the Bechorah. And if they would go into the land of Israel, their pride would be hurt, because it's Lo Yosur Shevet Yehuda. Yehuda was going to rule in terms of rulership, and not only that, but Yosef, with Yoshua being from the tribe of Yosef, obviously coming from Ephraim or Binyamin, and all of these from that thing, from all of those people that Yosef got the Bechorah in, basically with a double portion of Shem, and Reuven would be a nobody, and he'd rather stay Eivor HaYarden, where he would be somebody in charge over Bnei Gad and Chatzi Shevet Menasheh. Interestingly enough, the misplaced Moshe understood that if their priorities are so far gone, the least he could do is explain to them, at least have your family's priority over the animals. Moshe Rabbeinu is the last one on the list over here. And this is where Moshe Rabbeinu had a goal which he didn't be able to reach his goal. His priorities were met, but his priorities were also shaped in various incidences beforehand. And we ask ourselves, when we read last week's parsha and the parsha before that, when Pinchas is given the kahuna, as for Hineni no saying lo, as for Ritziv Shalom, it's very interesting that it says V'hoysa lo l'zaro acharav v'risku nas olam, that the fact is that Pinchas was given the kahuna to him, and the first mission that he had was to go to war. Pinchas had a goal. His goal was to stop the plague at this point in time. And he understood that previously, that when the absence of making the decision, sitting down and doing nothing, Shevi Al Taseh, is only good when it comes to other things in terms of violating another oath. But the fact remains, Pinchas came to the forefront and stopped the plague. Moshe Rabbeinu, certainly the Mefarshim tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu, he did not react and he didn't see. He speculated last week and the week before that perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu felt embarrassed because he was married to Zipporah, who had been a non-Jew. But the fact remains, it's very hard to accept the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu, in any way, shape, or form, could have forgotten the halacha of Kanoyim Pogumbo, and he could not have forgotten that. The reality was over here, Moshe, in trying to ensure that Bnei Yisrael go into the land, and he knows at this point that he will not be the one to escort Klal Yisrael into the land. He knows full well, which is why we see Moshe Rabbeinu in the beginning of Devarim, when we start Devarim next week, and we have Devarim, Voschanan, and Akev, when Moshe Rabbeinu was chastised in Klal Yisrael for all their misdeeds. And in Maaseh, when Moshe is reminding them of all their missteps, we have the 42 Masos, the 42 journeys that they made in the Midbar over the last 40 years. We see all these things taking place. And the names of the places are not just to recap all their travels, but to highlight all their missteps and the places where things happened when they made, Bnei Yisrael had their priorities in order and they did the right thing. And mentioning places that heretofore we have not seen and not taken place, and they misplaced priorities, was ruining their goals, as the Abarbanel points out at the beginning of Devarim when it says, Achados or Yom Echorei, what is the point of telling us 11 days? It's to tell them that 11 days is how far we've traveled from Sinai. It took us 7 weeks to get to Sinai, and it's 40 years later, and we're finally getting ready. We're on the precipice of entering the land. It took, for 40 years, it took an 11-day trip. If your priorities are proper, your goals can be met. If you want to reach your goals, make sure your priorities. And that is why Moshe Rabbeinu, perhaps, it's an interesting thought that occurred to me, and that Moshe Rabbeinu certainly did not forget the halacha. But he understood after what happened with the Egel, and if he's not going to be there to intercede for Klal Yisrael in the future, and it's going to be up to Yehoshua, it's going to be up to Elazar HaKohen, it's going to be up to Pinchas, these are the leaders who will be the one to step forward. And when the plague starts and 24,000 people are dying, dropping like flies, and nobody is doing something, and he understands, and it's a very difficult thing to watch. Moshe knows full well what to do, but he's waiting for somebody. In the Maisa Egel, 3,000 people died because Aaron was implicit in building. He was part of the whole scenario of building the Egel, but did nothing to stop it. Only Hur risked his life and gave his life for it, and everybody else sat by. And various other things by Maisa Korach and by other things, there were not enough people by the Meraglim. Only Yehoshua and Kalev rose up to say anything at all. Even Yehoshua didn't say anything. Only Kalev spoke up, but the rest of the people just sat by. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to see if somebody would step forward and do a maisa, take a positive action to stop the plague, because if it would be no point in going any further without him, because there had to be somebody to step up and take his place. He knew what to do, but it was very difficult for him to sit on his hands and watch the tragedy take place, for the simple reason that he would not be here forthwith. He was about to leave them, and nobody would come to their aid after this point. And this is what the growth process is. Is your goal to go into Eretz Yisrael, then you must set up your priorities properly. If your priorities are finances, then you're doomed to failure. If your priorities are only based on monetary gain, then where will your children be? Obviously, an old Slavkhod had that in them. Yehoshua and Kalev have their priorities set up correctly. Pinchas had his priorities set up correctly, and Kalev had his priorities set up correctly, and that's why they ended up to be the leadership. If your goals are set up in the manner to which you need them to be, you will achieve your goals, but God is looking to see for those who take the bull by the horns, as we say, but the ones who step up and actually do something. And that's why we have in Parshas Maaseh, when we start to do all the masot, as I mentioned, all of these things, so many of the goals and so many of the things that we see of Klal Yisrael, he's trying to mention them, that you take a look. The 15th masot was when they get to Har Sinai, and when they get to the Yam Suf, and they collect all the gold and silver. If you take a look in another couple of sukkim, it says once again, Vayisumi Yam Suf, after they made two masos, there were those of Klal Yisrael who thought they did not collect enough gold and silver, and they went back to get even more. And what happened with that gold and silver at that moment? Their priorities were misplaced, because what happened with much of that gold and silver, they right away threw it away, easy come, easy go. They threw it away in fashioning the Egel. All of that gold was lost building the Egel, or much of it certainly. So what was the point of going back a second time? Their priorities, they had goals, but the priorities ruined their goals. And that is the thing. If you have goals, wonderful, but make sure your priorities are proper so that you can reach those goals. And later on in the parsha, it has one very interesting thought process that we find it hard to understand today. But you have somebody, there's a rotseach, or somebody killed somebody accidentally, and they can't ascertain if it was truly an accident. The person goes free, and if it's done by mazid, of course it goes to trial for murder. But if it's somewhere that nobody is at fault, that person, unfortunately, he could have been more careful, and he does it. We feel sorry for both sides, but nevertheless, we don't want to try him for murder because it was an accident. He could have been more careful, but he goes to Ari Miklat. Why does he go to Ari Miklat? Because the Levim, their priorities are the sacredness of life. Levi was that type of person. Moshe instilled that in Shevet Levi. And the life of a Levi in the land of the Ari Miklat, who they ran it, was focusing on preservation of life. They had a goal and they had priorities, and that's why Levi was the kahuna, and that's why Pinchas stepped forward the same thing. And the Ari Miklat was run by all these Levim, and the person who committed an unfortunate act of accidentally killing somebody, he stays there, and the Levim and the Kohen are praying for his soul, and that's why the person doesn't leave Ari Miklot until the Kohen Gadol passes away, because it's down to him, down to Pinchas, because his priorities and his goals are for peace, in his line, there will be peace, not for the non-Jews, for he and his family, they will have the peace. And if he could instill, if he could change the priorities of all the people living in Chutz Laaretz, if he could change their priorities, their goal will be met, and hopefully they will see the light and come into Eretz Yisrael, which they didn't. But because their priorities weren't in order, they were the first ones, so many years, they spent an extra 20, 30, 50, some of the Shvatim, 100 years longer in Golos, because Reuven Gad, when B'nai Yisrael were driven into exile, the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven were the first ones to go. May we all keep our priorities in order to achieve our goals. Have a good evening, and Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek.